Hallo, herzlich willkommen zum Podcast Wellbeing Anna, dein Podcast für einen gesunden Geist in einem gesunden Körper. Mein Name ist Anna und ich freue mich unglaublich, das heutige Interview mit dir teilen zu dürfen. Ich hatte Lauren Lockman im Podcast zu Gast. Lauren ist Amerikanerin, hat seit über 30 Jahren Erfahrung mit Wasserfasten, mit Ernährungscoaching und ist selber vor über 30 Jahren Rohvegan geworden und hat mit dem Fasten begonnen und dann nach ein paar Jahren auch Menschen begleitet und seitdem über 15.000 Menschen begleitet. Also er hat eine unglaubliche Erfahrung und ich war selber bei ihm, weil er meiner Meinung nach der Beste auf der Welt ist, was Wasserfasten angeht und ich sag mal das erfolgreichste Wasserfastenzentrum leitet in Costa Rica. Und wir sprechen heute darüber, wie man richtig fastet, für wen Wasserfasten geeignet ist, wie lang man fasten sollte, welche Benefits man erwarten kann und was die richtige Ernährung für uns Menschen ist. Es ist ein vollgepacktes Interview. Wir hätten wahrscheinlich noch 10 weitere Stunden hier aufnehmen und teilen können. Die Erfahrung habe ich auf jeden Fall auch gemacht, als ich im Dezember dort war. Wir hatten jeden Tag ein Ernährungscoaching und ja, wenn man erstmal dieses Fass aufmacht, man kann in alle Bereiche reingehen, sei es auch das richtige Wasser, Salz, was man essen sollte, wie viel Protein etc. Es ist so, so spannend und ich habe einfach gemerkt, wie sehr ja, es einfach mich immer wieder begeistert und fasziniert, was in der Ernährung möglich ist und auch wo wir herkommen, wie sich die Ernährung im Laufe der Zeit verändert hat. Und ich hoffe, dass du ganz viel Inspiration heute sammeln kannst. Du findest das Fastenzentrum von Lauren in den Shownotes, du findest dort seine Webseite. Schau dich da gerne mal um. Und jetzt wünsche ich dir ganz, ganz viel Spaß beim Reinhören.
It's an honor for me to have Lauren Lockman in my podcast show today. Welcome, Lauren. I'm so thankful that you take your time and that you share your wisdoms, like your knowledge, like from the last 30, 40 years, what you experienced with so many clients. You have experience for over 30 years of fasting. With yourself, I know you did like you can tell better, but like over 2 years in total, you fasted already, and you helped so many people. So maybe you can introduce yourself, what you did, what you learned, how you got this introduction, like in fasting and the power of raw food. So welcome.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Well, thank you so much, Anna. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Really a privilege, and I'm happy to be able to share whatever I can. My story is probably not so unusual. I got very sick. I was 23, 6 months out of college, found myself sicker than anyone I knew. And all I knew back then was conventional allopathic medicine. And so I went to I had a health plan. I went to my plan doctor, and I was basically told that most of the things I was dealing with didn't exist. This included later, I was diagnosed with chronic candida, systemic candida, which I'm sure you're familiar with. I had irritable bowel syndrome. I had chronic fatigue. And those three conditions, I was told, they weren't real. That was just in my mind. I also had chronic sinus infection. And I was diagnosed later with 57 allergies, and I'd never been allergic to anything. And so I was given antibiotics for the sinus infection, and it was recommended that I see an allergist to get shots for the allergies. And I thought, yeah, I like sitting down sometimes. I didn't want to get 57 shots in my rear end every week. So I thought, you know, I don't want to do that. At the end of the year, I was worse than when I started. I found another doctor. I was told exactly the same things. No change. At the end of the year, I was worse than I had been the year earlier. I found a third doctor, and went through the exact same thing. And at the end of the year, I was worse than when I started. And I thought, okay, it finally occurred to me that medicine is all about suppressing symptoms. And it wasn't helping me. I was much sicker at 26 than I had been at 23. And that's it. I walked away from medicine. I realized it wasn't helping me. I walked away. I've never looked back. I have never been to a doctor, with the exception I needed to get a full physical for a life insurance policy a few years ago. And I still like to engage. I've always been a bit of an adrenaline junkie. And so I like to engage in various activities. I used to fly a plane. I used to race a car. I have a motorcycle and a quadricycle, which I've rolled a couple times. Mountain biking, rock climbing, surfing. And when I get injured, I mean, there's been a handful of times I've needed to go to the emergency room at a hospital. In some cases, I would have died without it. I've severed an artery 3 times in my life. And so with the exception of for trauma or to get this physical, I haven't seen a doctor since I was 26 years old. And as you know, that's already been a few years. Okay, more than a few years. I'll be 63 soon. I haven't been sick one day in 37 years.
Wow.
Okay. And so when I was, after I walked away from medicine, I didn't know what to do. I had begun studying nutrition at 14. So 9 years before I got sick, I had started studying nutrition. I thought, well, I need to go back to nutrition and see what I'm doing wrong. And it turns out I was doing everything that they said I should be doing. And here I was, sicker than anyone I knew. And that's when I realized conventional nutrition, the way it's taught, leaves a lot lacking. It's not ideal. We could talk about why that is, but I don't know if we need to go there. But anyway, I thought to myself, okay, well, if I'm going to get my health back, it's on me. I'm going to have to figure it out myself. And I can't rely on medicine. And I can't rely on nutrition. And so I looked around and I realized that the 25 million animal species on the planet, they all stop eating when they're sick enough or badly enough injured. Fasting is nature's way of allowing the organism to heal. And, you know, something that I think most of us really don't understand, we don't realize that healing and detoxification, these are biological processes. And what that means is that only the organism, only my body can heal my body. No drug can do it. Drugs are toxic substances that suppress symptoms. Herbs are toxic substances that suppress symptoms. They're not that different. One grows in the ground, you know, perhaps, and one is made in a factory, but they have the same effect. And so I thought, okay, what do I need to do to actually allow my body to heal? Well, maybe what works for every other species will work for me too. And I began fasting. At the same time, I thought to myself, every species on the planet has a natural diet, right? We hear a lot of people talking about this, you know, bio-individuality, that what works for you diet-wise, what works for you may not work for me. What works for me may not work for anyone else. But I thought, I mean, I see the beautiful elephant carving you have behind you, okay? Every elephant on the planet eats the same diet. There's one diet for elephants. Every giraffe eats the same diet. Every bald eagle eats the same diet. Every rainbow trout, there's one diet for trout. That's it. It's not different for each individual. Why would we be the one species? And so I started thinking, well, what's the natural diet for our bodies? And I wound up changing my diet significantly. In 6 months, right? I mean, I had gotten worse over 3 years of medical care. 6 months after taking over myself, the change was so dramatic that people I knew who hadn't seen me in a month or two would come up to me and say, oh my God, you look amazing. What did you do? How did you shift this? Can you help me? Or can you help my spouse? Or can you help my parent? Or can you help my child? Or I have a friend that, you know, and I wound up helping more and more people. I think everybody wants to help. It felt good. After about 5-6 years, I was spending most of my time helping people. I wasn't charging anyone. I was just offering my assistance. And I was neglecting the business that was supposed to be paying the bills. I had a real estate business. So closed the business, the real estate business, started charging people for advice. And that's how I became a full-time health coach many 32 years ago, roughly. That's what I've been doing since then. I've worked with more than 15,000 clients. 28 years ago, it'll be 28 years in just over a month, I opened the Tanglewood Wellness Center. I looked around. After I began fasting, I found out that there were places on the planet one could go to fast. There were actually more 30 years ago than there are today. Most of them are gone. The medical associations are powerful. They harass these people. They force them out of business in some cases. Many of the older practitioners died. They're no longer around. You know, Herbert Shelton and so many of these guys, they're all gone. But I looked around and thought, okay, there are places one could go, but I didn't really like what they were offering. They all felt very institutional. They felt like hospitals, and they operated like hospitals. And I thought, no, I mean, we know for a fact, there's plenty of science that says, I mean, it's interesting studies that say, if you've got two patients in a hospital and one can see a tree from their window, just looking out from their hospital window, they can see a tree. They heal 15 to 20% faster than the one that can't see a tree. Nature is powerful. The energy is amazing. And so I thought, I need to build a healing center in nature, which, as you know, we have an amazing place on 15 hectares with more than 2,000 fruit trees and incredible flowering plants and 35 species of hummingbirds. And I think I photographed around 70 species of butterflies. And in the last 28 years, I've had the privilege of taking more than 10,000 people through fasts, averaging 26 days. And if anyone's still listening, we can continue. If I haven't already blown their minds, we can continue if you like.
It's amazing. And I will share my experience with the water fast in another podcast episode. I first wanted to introduce yourself, like you're the coach, you have the wisdoms, and so many people are really afraid for a water fast. And sure, maybe you can introduce us, what is a water fast and how did you start? What are the most important things you have to follow? Because as you said, and as you coached us and guided us, you can do a lot of things wrong. And what are the main things you have to do to be successful?
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, I was introduced to fasting by Arnold Arendt, German PhD, who wrote a book. My first introduction was a book called Rational Fasting. And Arendt was talking about people going weeks without food in order to heal. And, you know, it spoke to me. At the same time, it freaked me out a little bit. Like the idea of going weeks without eating, it seemed pretty radical to me too back then. I can imagine people are, you know, think it's crazy. It sounded crazy to me, but at the same time, it had a kind of logic. And so I had grown up fasting one day a year, religious thing. And so I knew I could do one day. I decided to try 2 days, and I parked myself close to the refrigerator just in case. And I made it through 2 days. And so I tried 4 days. And then I tried 8 days. And again, I mean, there were places I could have gone. I didn't know they existed. So I slowly worked myself up from fasting 2 days to fasting 21 days. I did it a lot, way more than I should have and way more than I probably needed to. But I made a lot of mistakes at first because I didn't know what I was doing. I was learning as I went. You know, Arendt was good, but even today, I would say he missed a lot. I mean, we have a lot more information. He died almost 100 years ago. It was 95 or 96 years ago he died. And so today we have a lot more information. There are a lot more things we can test. And so it took me a while to figure things out. As you said, I've actually now fasted a total of more than 3.5 years of my life. I know it's crazy, and it really is more than most people need to do. But I was learning the hard way, right? Figuring out myself what to do. And I didn't feel qualified to guide other people through the process. It's amazing to me how many people fast once or twice and then think they're ready to guide other people through the process. By the time I supervised my first client, I had already done more than 36 long fasts. I had a lot of experience. And I started out taking people that weren't sick, you know, at first only for a week or 10 days of fasting. As I got more and more experience, I became more confident and still made mistakes. Fortunately, never made a mistake that cost anyone their life. It wasn't anything like that, but it was probably more difficult than it needed to be back then. And so there's really two main things that people must do. And well, the first one is simple, but is harder than it sounds for most people. And that's to rest as completely as possible. Okay. I don't know, Anna, if you've ever seen a cat or a dog get sick enough to stop eating.
Sure. And it just lay down and just do nothing. And
exactly. They don't move. They pick a spot where they're comfortable. I mean, they may change position. They may change locations, but generally speaking, they'll stay in one place sometimes for days or even weeks, you know, just stretching or changing position. They don't do anything. That's the point of this. The whole point is to rest as completely as possible. And, you know, with for any idea that you have, there are people out there that have an opposing idea. It doesn't matter what it is. Someone's going to disagree. There's a multitude of viewpoints. And people reasonably say, well, what makes me think my viewpoint's the right one? Because there are people that tell you, you should be walking while you're fasting, that moving around helps you detoxify. So here's what I've done. And I've done this with every aspect of my health. I asked myself, it occurred to me many years ago, we're tropical animals. Okay. How do I know that? So as you know, the center's now closed. I'm not in Costa Rica. I'm in the US. And I've got on two layers of clothing here, even though I'm inside. And there's heating systems. Okay. You're in Germany. You're inside. Your home is heated, I'm willing to bet. And you've also got on at least two layers, maybe more, because we can't handle the climate anywhere except the tropics if we want to be in our birthday costume, right? Without all the clothing, run around naked, not in Germany, not most of the year, not even in the summertime every day, right? It's not warm enough. The same is true in most of the US. It's true in most of the world, only in the tropics. So what occurred to me 30 years ago was, okay, well, if I'm a tropical animal, the question is, what would I do if I was in the tropical jungle? Not in a building, not in a house. If I lived in the jungle with other species, what would I do? So the first thing is resting as completely as possible. Now, the second one is also simple and also challenging for most people. Okay. And it's really challenging. It's almost impossible for most people to get this right on their own, because what it requires is drinking the right amount of water for your body and doing it properly. I can demonstrate, but doing it properly means taking tiny sips like this.
Yes.
And the reason for that is because there's a limit to how much your kidneys can process at one time. So I could easily drink this whole glass right now, but it would go right into my bladder. I'd pee it out. It wouldn't help me. It wouldn't hydrate me. And it would take electrolytes with it as it went. Okay. Now, in your normal life, I mean, there are probably people listening who wake up and drink a glass of water or two. I know a lot of people do that. And they're still fine. What's the problem? Well, the thing is, if they're eating 3 to 5 times a day, like most people do, they're replacing their electrolytes every day. But you went how long without any food?
This time for 16 days, the last time before once for 21 days, yes.
Right. So if you're going weeks without any food, you need to make sure that you're not flushing out your electrolytes, because you can put yourself in real danger. Okay. And so the trick here is in knowing how much to drink. And it's one of the things, I mean, as you know, I figured out many years ago how to interpret daily vital signs, blood pressure, pulse, temperature, primarily, to see whether someone is getting the water they need or not. I've taught 15 or maybe 18 MDs, many naturopaths and chiropractors and nurses. I'm in a nurse's home right now. These people did not understand. This isn't something they learned in their schools, how to interpret these numbers to see whether people are getting enough water or not. We also measure people's hydration every day at the center. And so we have two ways of verifying how they're doing. without that, it's really difficult for people to get this right. I spoke to a guy 2 days ago. He's fasting on his own, scheduled a consultation with me. And he said, you know, I'm doing fine. I mean, I've watched all your videos. I know how to do this. You know, I'm drinking X, he said, 4 liters a day. I said, okay, great. Do you have your vital signs? He said, I have blood pressure and pulse. We looked at the numbers. I'm like, okay, you're not getting enough water. Okay. Well, but I thought that was the amount. It varies for each person. There is no set amount. You have to understand how to interpret this. Now, most people say, well, why can't I just drink when I'm thirsty? You probably heard the story of the young man who was in law school. He'd fasted with me, incredibly successful 21-day fast, changed his life. A year later, said, I want to do this again remotely. And I said, okay, great. And just before we started, he said, I don't know if I agree with you about how much water we need to drink. This time, I'm just going to drink when I'm thirsty. I hope that's okay. And I said, it's not okay. If you're not going to take coaching, I can't work with you. I can't be involved if you're not going to follow some guidance. So he fasted on his own. He wound up in the hospital. He almost killed himself. Okay. He was in the hospital for 3 months. They told him that his kidneys were functioning at 2% of where they should be. Okay. He lost 98% of his kidney function. He was lucky to be alive, is what they told him. I didn't know any of this until a year later. He came back to me about a year ago and told me what happened and said, I want to fast again. This time I'll take your guidance. I want to work with you. I'll take your guidance. So I took him through another 21-day fast. He got a scan of his kidneys done, some sort of test about 6 months later. And they said to him, you're back to 100% kidney function. Okay. So most of the time, I mean, everyone, I think, drinks when they're thirsty. And yet, as you know, we're measuring hydration every day, and everybody comes in dehydrated. Some people extremely dehydrated, and some people just badly, you know, dehydrated. No one's in a very good position. Almost everyone's dehydrated. And, you know, if you want, we can talk about why that happens. But the point is that when you become dehydrated, you lose touch with your thirst mechanism. And so most people can't trust themselves. This young man almost died because he was going to listen to his own body. That's exactly what we want to do. Get to the point where we can listen to our own body. The problem is we can't really trust that until we get the body clean and hydrated. Then that's exactly what to do. Drink when you're thirsty, when you're hungry, stop when you're satisfied. You know, listen to your body in terms of what it wants. But you can't do that until you get clean enough and hydrated.
Yes, and there was one feedback I got when friends maybe asked me, how much do you drink? And I said, yeah, I started around 4.5 liters a day and ended for the second week with 7 liters a day. And it sounds like so much, but it's so important. Maybe you can tell us why is it so important? Because one amazing fact was, first, I lost a lot of muscle mass. And there was one day where I drank, I think, half a liter more, and I gained muscles back without practicing, without doing any workout. So can you explain why is it so important to drink enough?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of different things going on. And I can imagine people going, I don't want to lose a lot of muscle mass. So let's talk about that piece first. Yes. So first of all, it's been estimated that the average person's normal daily need for water is about 3.5 to 4 liters in a normal day. Okay. Now people are getting some of this water from their food. They're getting some of the, you know, if they're drinking orange juice or coffee or tea, they're getting some of their water from those things too. Even though coffee and tea and sodas and alcohol are all diuretics, you get some water, you also lose some water. So they're not very hydrating. But people, we have water's life. Our bodies need a lot of water. Okay. The first thing that most people don't realize, and one of the things that occurred to me when I understood this and I thought, oh, we can use this, is the fact that your body is replacing blood cells all the time. Right. Now, most people again think, okay, I mean, if you thought about this, I mean, I don't know what I would have said, but I would have guessed, yeah, I mean, okay, it makes sense. It's, you know, it's probably several thousand blood cells replaced every day. Actually, It's 120 million per hour, so says science. 2 million blood cells are taken out of circulation every minute of our lives. Okay. Now, some of what's there can be recycled, but they're taken out of circulation because they're damaged, they're worn out. And in order to carry the damaged particles out of the body, we need water. Water is the universal transport medium. Urine, which is how we eliminate most toxins from the body, is through the urinary tract. Urine is actually blood plasma plus whatever the body wants to get rid of. And blood plasma is mostly water. Okay, and so it costs us some of the water as the body's retiring those blood cells, which means we need more water to make the blood that we need to replace the cells that are being lost. If we don't get enough water, our blood volume drops. And if our blood volume drops, our blood pressure falls, our heart rate goes up. We don't feel very good if our heart's racing. We feel a bit anxious, and the body has to work much harder. And we're not going to get the oxygen we need. We're not going to think very well. We may not feel so good. This is what happens. And it's interesting too, because there's one of the things we're measuring every day is called blood oxygen saturation, how much oxygen each red blood cell's carrying. It's an interesting thing, and it works against us. But if your blood volume falls, let's say you have 90, this isn't likely to happen, but let's just say you have 90% as much blood as you need to have. Well, if each, let's say each red blood cells was carrying 100% of oxygen. So if you have 90%, you're going to get 90% of the oxygen you need, right? Unfortunately, what happens is as your blood volume drops, the ability to carry oxygen in each red blood cell also falls. So instead of having 90% as much oxygen, you might only have 80% as much oxygen. Well, it's hard to breathe or think. I mean, some people feel like they can't breathe so well if they don't get enough water. So that's the first thing. When we look at the fact that the body's detoxifying through the urinary tract, through the colon, through the skin, through the breath, and through mucous membranes, eyes, nose, ears, mouth, anus, vagina, penis, these are all ways the body moves things from inside to outside of the body. Every one of those channels depends on having enough water. If there's not enough water, the body can't detoxify. Okay? And this is why. And this is some rocky ground here, but this is why dry fasting is so misguided. We had this session when you were with us. We had, I think, four people who had a fair amount of dry fasting experience. Every one of them was severely dehydrated. They were the most dehydrated people, at least within their age group by far. Okay. And as soon as we get these people hydrated, they think they've healed because they stop having symptoms. But symptoms are evidence that the body's detoxifying. So as soon as we get them hydrated again, all the symptoms stop. All the symptoms come back when we get them hydrated, right? Because now the body's able to do what it needs to do. So we need to have enough water for all of that. But when we talk about the colon, most people think, well, I mean, what is there to eliminate? We're not eating anything, right? And it's, I mean, it's interesting because some people, when you tell them, no, you're likely to stop having bowel movements. They free, well, that, but that's not okay. Well, what would you expect to eliminate if you haven't eaten anything for 16 days in your case? And the average client of mine, 26 days. What would you be eliminating if you've eaten nothing for 26 days? Now, the truth is, we had a client that was there with you that had at least one bowel movement every single day. There are those people typically with big bellies. There's a lot of stuff that's slowly making its way through their system. And so those people sometimes keep eliminating. Most people stop eliminating after 3 or 4 days of fasting. Okay. It should be after 8 to 12 hours. You should have your last meal. 8 to 12 hours later, you have the bowel movement. System's empty. In 28 years with more than 10,000 clients, I've never seen that happen. Everybody's got stuff in there. They shouldn't, but they do. When they begin refeeding, it typically takes 4 days for them to start eliminating again. And what often happens is we see people moving out material. I mean, as you know, if you are eating watermelon or papaya or other melons or pineapples, your stool is going to be soft, easy to pass, right? I mean, bowel movement should be quick, easy, painless, clean, like nothing on the paper, odor-free. They don't smell bad. but we have people moving stuff out sometimes. It's hard and difficult and painful and takes a while. I mean, I've had a guy once tell me it took him 3 hours to eliminate, to evacuate something. He was exhausted for 5 days after that. This is a guy who was 60. You know, this is clearly not the watermelon and papaya people are roof feeding with. Okay, this is old material. And there was a Danish paper about 10 years ago that said, well, the average person has between 5 and 10 kilos of old material. We see this with everybody. We had someone there with you who averaged for 33 days of refeeding, averaged more than 10 bowel movements per day. We've had other people there. Even now, we have someone there that's been evacuating quite a bit, 8, 9, 10 times a day after fasting 26 days. And so there's all this old stuff in there, and that stuff is hard and dry. Okay, and again, you know, if you're unfortunate, if you're listening and you've done some dry fasting, that stuff in your body is going to be hard as rock, super dry. It's going to take you longer to move it out. Okay, we have a woman who fasted with us for 40 days this session. It was her third 40-day fast. The first with me, by the way, I don't know if you talked to her about, but she said life-changing experience. She thought she knew fasting when she arrived. She realized it was completely different the way that we do it. Okay?
That's my
way
roommate.
More powerful.
Yeah, so, I was in the room. She was my roommate for the first day.
I know, yeah.
So interesting. Like, she just shared how different it is. And she just tried this time really to be really resting, like, fully, and also drinking that much more. And she was so excited and, yeah, felt so different.
She was drinking, by day 4, she was drinking 7 liters a day and needed 7 to 8 liters almost every day for 40 days plus the refeeding process. Okay, and that's what happens because, again, this is someone who'd had dry fasting experience. So they were super dehydrated and had a ton of old material in there. And it was interesting because relatively young woman, and I'm sure you saw this, but she showed me her belly once and the skin was all wrinkled on her belly. Okay, that shouldn't be true at 40, you know, early 40s. That shouldn't be the case. This is what happens when someone's very dehydrated.
So now the two most important things are to rest well and to drink enough water. And right. For who is a water fast? Like, who should fast or who is not able to fast?
Well, that's a really great question. And so first of all, I should say that it's not for everyone. Okay. This definitely won't help you if you're listening right now. This won't help you if you're already dead. If you're alive, it will help you because you can't live on the planet today. I mean, the planet is very polluted. Okay. You know, they found, you know what Roundup is? The chemical they use they spray on plants that are for growing food. Roundup, it's a chemical made by Monsanto. And they have found Roundup in polar ice. I mean, thousands of miles from where it was ever used. Okay. Toxins are everywhere. They're in the air, they're in the water. They're in the soil. They're affecting every species. I mean, we have wild animals now getting cancer because of the pollution that humans have created. We're affected not only by those things, we're affected by microwave signals from cell phone towers. And 4G wasn't bad enough. Now we have 5G, which is much, much more harmful. We have, most people are affected by Wi-Fi. Okay. As you know, at Tanglewood, we don't have any Wi-Fi. Never have, never will. Because it's harmful to us. It causes cancer, okay? We want to eliminate as much of these kinds of effects as possible. But because the average person's body is quite toxic, everyone benefits. Even people who think they're healthy, and we get a fair number of people who come in, they're healthy, they just want to be healthier. It never fails to take them to a whole nother level. It's also amazing for anyone who's dealing with a specific illness of any kind. Okay, it doesn't matter what it is. As I started out by saying, when you asked me to introduce myself, healing is a biological process. And so whether someone is healing from cancer, or they're healing from hypertension, high blood pressure, or it's type 2 diabetes, or it's arthritis, or it's lower GI tract problems, bowel problems, it doesn't matter what it is. if the body can heal, fasting simply allows the body the optimal conditions to heal itself. And we can't improve on that. And so we see things that aren't supposed to happen. We see things that we're told are impossible. And I'll give you one example. I mean, I can give you many examples, but I heard recently from a woman who fasted with me a few years ago. She was in a terrible car accident where she was paralyzed from the armpits down. She could move her arms, but she couldn't control her hands. And so she's considered a paraplegic. No use of her legs, no use of her hands. She has 24-hour care. She's in bed. She needs to be bathed and dressed and everything, fed, everything. A young woman. By the time I worked with her, it had been 4 years and 2 or 3 months since the accident that she'd been in bed paralyzed. And by the time we were finished, she fasted, I think, for 30 days. By the time we were finished, she could feel her spine for the first time. Okay. She had bowel movements for the first time without needing assistance. Before, she couldn't have one unassisted. Every day she had to have something to help her eliminate because she couldn't feel anything in her bowel. And she began to be able to control her hands. She can now pick up a glass, something she couldn't do before. Medicine says 2 years after paralysis, if the body hasn't healed, healing is impossible. But it's not impossible. Okay. We had a guy who lost 70% of his hearing. He was the lead guitarist for the loudest rock, and their claim to fame was they were the loudest rock and roll band in Melbourne, Australia. He was like 20 plus years he did this. He lost 70% of his hearing. He fasted for 42 days, regained 100% of his hearing. I've worked with two groups of blind people, and we had one woman. When I met her, she couldn't see. I mean, most people who are legally blind can see light and shadow, but they can't distinguish objects. They can't navigate the world, okay? She couldn't see what was in front of her. Today, she drives a car and doesn't wear glasses, okay? She regained 20/20 vision as a result of fasting and changing her diet. And there's so many, I mean, we have 100% success with hypertension. Medicine says, if you've got high blood pressure, you're on drugs for the rest of your life. Every single client. More than 1,000 people, now well over 1,000 people, heal completely and have no more need for medications. The same exact thing with type 2 diabetes. Medicine says you're on drugs the rest of your life. Nope. Nope. When they leave us, they don't need any more medications. Almost everything. Remember, our bodies are made to heal. They're made to function at an incredibly high level. You know, if you're listening right now, consider the fact that the 25 million species in nature, every one of them is much healthier than most people are, okay? We're meant to be just as healthy, just as vibrant. Okay, as I started out by saying, I haven't been sick a day in all these years, decades. Anyone can accomplish that if they're willing to do what they need to do. It's just about getting the body clean, getting all the garbage out, taking our hydration to a high level by eating properly and getting enough water, and then meeting all of the body's other needs. And it really is that simple. Now, of course, in order to do that, you have to know exactly what those things are. And that's one of the things that I teach.
Thank you so much. And I think we could speak for 2 more hours just about fasting, or 10 more hours. But I would love to get your main wisdoms for a healthy diet. What is a healthy diet? What do we need, maybe also to prepare fast, and how do we refeed after fasting? It is so important, especially how we refeed after a long fast, that we don't make everything worse again.
It's true. It's, you know, it, first of all, I think just one more quick piece I want to say about fasting. Fasting is incredibly powerful. Okay. You're in Germany. I bet you have a beautiful German car.
Yes.
Also very powerful, right? Car is powerful. Is that good or bad? Well, it depends. If you drive into a bunch of children standing on the corner, it's not good. Okay. Or a brick wall, not so good. If you use it to get from point A to point B safely, you know, that power is wonderful. Power is neutral. It depends on how you apply it. When people fast incorrectly, they can really hurt themselves, okay? Because it's so powerful. If you're doing it wrong, you're magnifying the effect because it's so powerful. If you do it correctly, the benefits are amazing, okay? So with refeeding and preparation, what I encourage people to do before they come is to eat as simply as possible. And that means a diet of mono fruit meals, one type of fruit at a time. Ideally, as much as possible, focused on high water content fruits, right? And so in the summertime in Germany, you probably have lots of melons available that come to you from Spain, I'm guessing. I mean, I've been in Germany many times, as you know. Or from Turkey, you know, these types of foods are going to be hydrating and allow your body to detoxify a little bit faster. And so you'll start further ahead. In addition to mono fruit meals, simple green salads, lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, you know, pepper if you like it, maybe some avocado, not more than five or six ingredients maximum. The simpler we keep it, the more easily we digest it. Okay. When we look at nature, animals almost exclusively eat one thing at a time. Now, our close primate relatives, the bonobos and chimpanzees, they're an exception. They'll sometimes eat two things at a time, fruit and soft leaves, okay? And this is why I encourage people to eat, if they want to, lettuce with fruit, but lettuce, soft leaves. You know, the chimps will take, they'll eat the tip of a leaf, which is the youngest part, and they'll throw the rest away because leaves are free. In the jungle, they're free. People pay for them, don't want to waste anything. So we should be eating only soft, tender leaves, lettuce, not kale, not cabbage. And there's studies that demonstrate we're not getting the nutrients from these plants in their raw state. Okay, if we eat them in their natural raw state, we don't get much nutrients from them because we can't digest them. If we cook them, we break down the cellulose and all the other fiber in there so we can get the nutrients. But we destroy some of the nutrients and we create toxic compounds when we cook. Okay. And so the first law of, you know, of nature is that what's natural for every species is a raw diet. Okay. As you know, I'm now more than 32 years living on fruit and salad only. Nothing cooked. Sometimes some stuff that's more prepared, but the truth is the less of that, the better. The simpler it is, the more hydrating it is, the better we do. Okay. That's the ideal that we can do. And so that's how I encourage people to prepare for the fast for at least 3 or 4 weeks before fasting. Some people don't do that. We have people who come in having eaten conventionally. They're still safe to fast. It's just going to be more uncomfortable that way. Okay. It's an easier thing if they clean it up first. I don't know if you heard about the woman who came to me a couple of years ago, and I'd given her the same instructions. And she arrives and she begins feeling nauseous and vomiting every day. And I said to her, you know, we're going to have to give you electrolytes at some point because she was vomiting so much. No, I'm not going to take them. I'm like, well, you're going to have to take them. You're going to go to the hospital. No, I'm not going to go to the hospital. I'm like, well, you're going to put yourself in real danger. Okay. I finally said to her, did you follow my instructions before coming? She said, not exactly. I said, well, what did you eat? She said, well, for the last few weeks, I only ate donuts. She made herself really sick as a result of that. Okay. At the end of the fast, the refeeding process is, again, it's one thing at a time, mono, high water content fruit meals. Toward the end, more greens and a salad at the end of the process, depending on how long the refeeding process. So when we have someone that fasts for 40 days, they may have salads for a week at the end of the process, but always later in the process because they're harder to digest. The mono high water content fruits are much easier for the body. We also, being in Costa Rica, we have fresh coconut water right out of the coconuts. And that's amazing stuff, as you know.
Yes, it's amazing.
Like nectar of the gods.
Yeah,
incredible. So this is the way we refeed. After people leave, my advice is to do exactly the same thing. To stick with these same things, because this is what belongs in the body. You know, again, it's not a popular idea, and a lot of people argue with me. We can get into it. I mean, you know, people are worried about all the sugar in fruit. There's no reason to be. Fruits have a low glycemic load, almost all of them, which what that means is they have very little impact on your blood sugar. And the reason for that is because of the water and the fiber. If we take the water away, raisins, for instance, or dates, which are dried on the tree, right? Raisins are dehydrated, and dates, they're allowed to dry before they pick them. They have exceptionally high glycemic loads because there's no water, and they definitely affect your blood sugar and insulin levels significantly. These are things people should be very cautious about eating if they eat them at all. Of course, eating dried food also dehydrates the body. And I haven't said this directly yet here today with you, but I think, you know, as you know, we measure pulse, blood pressure, temperature, blood oxygen saturation, blood sugar, weight, muscle mass, body fat, hydration levels, and of everything when we can, we're going to start measuring more than that. We're going to be in the next few years publishing data. If we can get a journal to publish it, we have tons of data, and we're going to start measuring everything that we can, right? The doctor on site now, we have another doctor starting with us in April. With the two of them, we'll be able to spend a lot more time measuring these things so we can demonstrate to people what happens. What happens to everyone's vision, to everyone's hearing, to, I mean, everything that we could possibly measure, we're gonna see improvements because we've already seen this. And so of all the things we could measure, the most important, in my opinion, is hydration, because water's life. Hydration is key. Okay. We want to make sure that if we can get someone hydrated, they can detoxify in real time as they go through life. Okay. And we don't have the issues. People have, this is why I don't get sick. Because if I need to detoxify, my body can do it right now and get it over with. It doesn't build up until I have to have a flu or a cold, which is what happens. Okay. We had somebody who was there with you, and my girlfriend Sylvie said to me, talking to her, and she said she has a terrible flu. She's really hurting. She has a high fever. And so I sent her message and said, hey, you know, if you need any help, don't hesitate to let me know. I'm happy to help you. She wrote to me, and I answered some questions and helped her understand what was going on. And then I said, what happened? She said, well, I started eating cooked food again. And I can see my body clearly rejecting it. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You're clean. You know, people eating cooked food, if you're listening right now and you still eat cooked food, hey, that's what I did for the first half of my life. And then I realized, no, we're destroying nutrients. We create toxic compounds. We make our bodies work much harder because we destroy all the enzymes. It's not a good thing for us. You can take any animal and feed them cooked food and they get sick. Take a cow, right? A cow makes milk for its calf. Take that milk, pasteurize it, which is a boiling process to kill bacteria. Pasteurize it, feed it to the calf that it was made for. The baby cow gets sick if the milk has been cooked. Okay. Every species on the planet, 25 million species, eat only raw, and humans think we need to eat cooked food. We don't, and it hurts us when we do. And so she now can see, okay, I get it. I'm not doing that anymore. Right? It didn't work for me. So these are really the key components. Now, fruit, as I said, is critical because fruit actually contains more vitamins, more phytonutrients, more enzymes, and more water than almost anything else. The only exception, leaves, lettuce, for instance, is 96% water. But you want to try to live on lettuce. I don't think anybody would want to. It's not all that appealing if that's the only thing you're eating, right? But it's more than that. Lettuce is also about 50% protein. You know, if you want to build big muscles, you might be thinking, okay, good, but it's not good. The studies are clear. The more protein we eat, the faster we age and die. We're meant to take in tiny amounts of protein. So you can have some lettuce, but don't eat too much. One head per day is plenty. You don't need any more than that. Okay.
How much protein do we need? And what is about animal protein? I get so many questions like, yeah, you can, whatever, it's easier to digest everything. How much protein do we need, and why should we eat plants and not animal protein?
Well, first of all, I mean, how much protein we need is going to vary from person to person, depending on various things, but it tends to be constant relative to our caloric intake. In other words, rather than talking about grams, if we're eating the right amount of food for our bodies, we typically don't need more than five and 10% protein is probably more than enough for almost everyone. Probably everyone, in fact. I take that back, everyone. You know, if we think about the time in our life when we're growing the fastest, as infants, we triple in size in the first year. Breast milk on average over the course of that year is about 2.5% protein. And we triple in size and build our muscles. We never grow that fast again. In the second year of life, we grow on average 30%. So 1/10 as fast. We grew 300% and now it's 30%. Okay. We don't need more protein than an infant does. And an infant's getting 2.5% of its calories from protein. Most adults get 10 times that much protein as a percentage of their calories. Recent studies have shown that if you get 30% of your calories from plant proteins, you have twice the risk of almost all diseases. And if you get 30% of your calories from animal proteins, you have three times the risk of almost all diseases. Okay. Protein is necessary, but we don't want very much of it because the more of it we eat, the more harmful it is to us. And this is because of the effects it has on the body and the toxic byproducts when we eat it. Our bodies are simply not made for that. Now, one of the things that people say, you know, the people that advocate eating an animal-based diet like the carnivore diet or a ketogenic diet say, well, we have the same hydrochloric acid as carnivores and omnivores. And it's true. It's the same exact hydrochloric acid. It's quite acidic. It has a pH that's 100,000 times more acidic than water, 100,000 times. It's stronger than most other animals. And they say, see, we're meant to eat meat. But that's not how you measure acid solutions. You measure them by molarity. It's the concentration of acid. And the concentration of acid in the stomach of a carnivore omnivore is 10 times greater than in our stomach. And so you've probably seen a snake eat an entire mouse and over the course of a week or so, digest the entire thing, bones and all. You eat one piece of corn or one sunflower seed and don't chew it up, it's coming right back out of your body exactly the same as it went in. That's the difference in strength of digestion, okay? We are not meant to eat high protein. We're meant to eat tiny amounts of it. And so at 63, you know, back in January a year ago, I got surfing. I got hit by a big wave and really injured my shoulder. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do upper body weight exercises. I couldn't bounce or run anything that moved my shoulder. Hurt a lot. And so I didn't do much for almost a year. About a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I got to the point where I felt like I could start exercising again because the pain was finally gone. And now, I mean, what I should have done is fasted for 21 days. But as I think you know, on average, I'm seeing 45 clients every day. I work 16 hours a day. I don't really have time right now to do that. I'm just too busy. There's so much going on right now in life that it's been difficult for me to take the time to do that. And so I started working out again just a month ago. It's crazy how fast I build muscle eating 1,000 calories per day. My diet, not what anyone else needs, but my body's quite efficient after all these years of eating perfectly and all the fasts I've done. Okay. 1,000 calories per day, I build muscle really quickly. And I'm living on oranges and salad, you know, bananas once a week or maybe twice. There's been some apples and some pears. And I mean, this is what's available right now. No problem. We don't need a lot of protein. It's almost unheard of today that people have protein deficiencies unless they're starving, unless they're not getting enough calories. Okay. So we don't have to worry about protein. We don't need a lot of minerals because when the body's in balance, we're not losing minerals. I mean, I consume almost no sodium and my sodium levels are perfectly fine. Okay. We're so misinformed about these things. And that's because when people eat conventionally, they're constantly flushing minerals out of the body and have to replace them. We don't need to do that.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Maybe, yeah, you have just a couple of more minutes. Maybe you can just give an introduction for people who just start like to eating more healthy or want to maybe try a shorter fast. What is your Sure. recommendation like for people just to get their health to the next level? So yeah, thank you so much for your time, for everything, and the last words are here for you.
Sure. Well, what I would say, and what I've practiced and have taught to all of the thousands of people I work with from all over the world, is keep it as simple as possible. Okay. When we eat the diet that our bodies are intended for, we don't need anything else. Okay. No species on the planet, 25 million species, don't need supplements. They don't need protein powders. They don't need, you know, in fact, there are now studies, many of them, that show that the more supplements we take, the higher the rates of disease. Even with the things that most people, I mean, you probably have a lot of listeners in Germany, people in Germany and Northern Europe in general, most people are vitamin D deficient. Many people in the world are vitamin D deficient. Many people are B12 deficient. These are real deficiencies that people have. It doesn't matter, by the way, what your serum B12 is, blood levels. It's about what's happening in the cells. And so even people eating animal products tend to be deficient in B12. Okay, they think they're okay, but they're not. Even these people with vitamin D, if we take more than nominal amounts of the supplement, we have higher rates of fractures, bone fractures. With B12, if we take more than a nominal amount of B12, we have higher rates of all diseases. Okay, I take no supplements whatsoever for 31 years. Okay, I've taken no B12, I'm perfectly fine. Now, I live in the tropics most of the time, so I don't have an issue with vitamin D. I mean, a lot of people there do, because they're not getting the sun exposure. Okay, vitamin D, by the way, poorly named, it's a hormone, and our bodies make it. And if we take it, we're encouraging the body to not make it. So what I would say to people is keep it as simple as you can, stick with high water content meals, make your fruit meals mono as much as possible, simple green salads. You know, you don't need a blender. You don't need a juicer. These things aren't so helpful to you. The simpler, the better. Okay. No supplements. Now, again, if you're in Germany and you need vitamin D or B12, take some, but don't take any more than you need to take, because they're actually harmful to you. They're going to put the body out of balance if you're not careful.
Thank okay? you so much, Lauren. And
you're very welcome.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
For everything. And yeah, maybe we will see us again, and maybe also
I'd be very happy anytime. I'd be happy. By the way, there's one more thing I'd like to say if I can.
Of course.
I offer every client, if they're coachable, a guarantee that they'll take their health to a much higher level. So if you're listening right now, and let's say you're already eating a raw vegan diet, and you think you're already as healthy as possible, I'll guarantee you in writing that you take it to a whole nother level if you come and spend enough time with us and you're coachable. It never fails. Never fails.
Ich hoffe, dass du inspiriert bist. Vielleicht möchtest du auch mal Wasserfasten ausprobieren. Mir ist ganz, ganz wichtig, an dieser Stelle zu sagen, dass das nicht für jeden ist, dass man wirklich diesen inneren gesunden Wunsch haben möchte, das einfach mal auszuprobieren. Es geht dabei nicht irgendwie um eine Crash-Diät, um abzunehmen. Es geht dabei wirklich um Heilung. Es geht darum, so ein Reset zu machen, dem Körper, also eigentlich, dass man aus dem Weg geht und dem Körper die Möglichkeit gibt, um zu heilen, um Altes loszulassen, um alte Giftstoffe rauszubringen. Und ganz wichtig ist, meiner Meinung nach, sich daran zu tasten. Mein erstes Wasserfasten waren 3 Tage. Damit habe ich angefangen. Ich glaube, das war mir vor 8 Jahren. Und so hat sich das entwickelt. Und das teile ich gerne auch in einer anderen Folge mit dir. Ich wünsche dir einen wundervollen Tag. Schau gerne mal bei Lauren auf der Webseite vorbei. Und vielleicht nochmal als Abschluss. Das Wichtigste ist, dass du deine Wahrheit findest. Dass du es für dich selber ausprobierst. Egal was es ist. Ob es Ernährung ist, ob es Sport ist, ob es Mentaltraining ist, ob es dein Beruf ist, ob es dein Hobby ist, probier es aus. Finde heraus, was dir gut tut. Und lass dich inspirieren, bleib am Ball und ich danke dir, dass du da bist. Nourish your mind and body wisely. Wir hören uns nächste Woche wieder mit einer neuen Folge. Alles, alles Liebe. Deine Anna.